We thank God for tonight. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Tonight, God is going to help us tonight. And I'm really trusting on God and relying on Him. And we can pray along as the teaching goes on. Pray along with me. There's a beautiful, for a while now, there's been a brooding in the house, that's this house, this family. We have been going through a series of, God is putting gratitude in our hearts, and it's been brooding over time. So tonight, I'm just building over it, and we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thanksgiving, and we want to see it in the light of Scripture so that we can be grounded in it, right?
Yes.
All right, good. Everybody should smile, please. All right. Thank you for smiling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want us to see Psalms 103. If you follow me through in this teaching, you see that most of the things we're going to be discussing are things that Fizak has shared, you know. And I want to thank him for the privilege to and the opportunity to teach tonight. Most of the things are things he has shared already during the devotion. So if you didn't participate, this is another opportunity for you. And if you have been, you know, involved and if you have been participating, then this is a good thing for you too, so that you can be well established in it. So, you know, I put in my book that Thanksgiving is a supernatural force. You know, sometimes when things are very simple, we just handle it casually. Something like Thanksgiving is very simple. But in the kingdom of God, it's a pillar. And, you know, one of the persons that I respect most in the scripture is David. David was a thanksgiver. It was recorded that David is a man that is, God said, is after my own heart. And if you check the Psalms, you see that many of it, they had prayers of saving me from my enemy, this, that. But the majority of the Psalms are songs, are hymns, worship, and praises. So David is a man that, you know, I'll just look into a little bit of the Psalms, but not much of it. But David was a thanksgiver. David is a man that knows how to say thank you to the Lord. And God recognized it. You know, 103, that's 1 to 5 years. Let's just see the scriptures. We're going to be blessed tonight.
Amen.
And God is already set to do something. It's not tonight alone, but He's been doing it for a while. So there's going to be a climax tonight. Praise
Amen.
God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Next verse is, bless the Lord, O my soul. These are scriptures that we're used to write. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? It sounds very familiar. There was a time Pizak took us through the scripture. I think it was the first month of this year. I don't know if you guys remember, but I can remember a lot of Pizak's messages. Not because I am, but because I'm a student of his teaching. So there was a time he took us through, there was a particular Sunday in this church that he took us through the Psalms and went through this, looking at all his benefits, looking at his loving kindness. I don't know if you can remember now.
Yeah.
All right, good. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Now, this is a command to the soul. This is not an instruction for the mind or the emotions. It's bless the Lord, O my soul. And who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Next verses. Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is what? Renewed like the eagles. Is that 5? I think I'm stopping at 5. So this is a scripture that you have to tell your soul all the time. You have to tell your soul what your soul should do. You have to put your soul into alignment. Now, this teaching is not for the happy man. It's not for the hyped man. It's a teaching for all. But majorly, it's something that someone that if you're downcast, you now have a reason to command your soul to bless the Lord. Praise God. Let's see 13 and 16. Don't worry, your spirit is going to be lifted tonight. The Holy Spirit was already in the house. You know, as Bisola was taking us through that worship, there was a preparation already. 13 and 16 says, as a father pitied, you know, I wanted us to reach, but there's no time to go through all this 103, Psalms 103. So as a father pities his, I don't know why I'm saying pitied. I think I read a lot of KJV. Pities his children. So the Lord pities those who fear him, yeah? For he knows our frame. Who knows your frame? He remembers that we are what? Dust. Actually, God remembers. God remembers. If you give birth to a child, can you forget when a child was born? So God remembers our origin. Do you get? So these are the things you need to remind yourself of. As you go through life, you should not be carried away and not forget that you were once dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he was. 16. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remember it what? You know, there was a time I was at the, just recently, I was at a burial ground for my father-in-law, and it was not a very funny scene. For me, I was busy in my mind. You know, I don't know if you have gone to the burial ground before. Okay, sorry, that's a funny question, right? Very sorry. But I was opportune to be at one, so I had a lot of thinking. You know, that day I decided that, let me just count. I took a lot of decision that day. I remembered where I came from. I remember where I would go to. I remember when I would go to heaven, when I would see Jesus, when I would give account. I had a lot. My mind was completely busy. In fact, I couldn't see a lot of people. Like, they were before me, and there was activity going on, but my mind was busy. I was contemplating, ruminating, thinking. I was thinking over the scripture. I was thinking over something. I was like, because of the place I was, at that particular time, I started to think about the Lord. And I was thinking about the Lord in a certain way. And for some funny reason, that day, I think, in case I have about 10 shoulder pads of pride, it was reduced to at least 2. Because I saw where I was going to. I saw that one day I'll be buried. I know you don't like to hear this thing. But I remember that it occurred to me as I was there. You know, you hear things like somebody died. But I was right there at the burial ground, and I remember that someday I'll be buried. So I started to think about destiny, about life. I started to count my days. And I told myself that I'm already too old, and I'm behind time. I started to plan on how I will manage the remaining time and how I'll be effective and efficient. Do you get me?
Yes.
At that moment, I didn't have time for many things. I didn't have time for anger. I didn't have time for offense. I remember that I am a dead man. Scripture says that we were dead. He made us alive. So the purpose of my movement on earth is that somebody decided to make me alive. Now, this scripture says that, and its place remembers it no more. For a child of God, you can be remembered. Based on the way you use your dust life. You get what I'm saying, ba? It's just a reminder. So, that's not like what I'm teaching, but I just want to I just want us to think a bit. David was a thanks giver. David knows how to give thanks. You know that the scripture says that, I think, let's see Psalms 100. Let's see, I think that might be the scripture I want to. Have we been blessed already?
Yes,
ma'am. Tonight our eyes will be opened.
Amen.
The eyes of our inner man will be enlightened.
Amen.
And there will be understanding.
Amen.
Make a joyful, what?
Shout.
Yes, a version says shout, noise rather. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
Come before what? With what?
Singing.
With what?
Singing.
Next verse. Know that the Lord is what?
Lord.
Don't forget. It is he who has made what?
Us.
See the other next line. And not what?
We are.
Beautiful. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. That's why God remembers that we are dust. He remembers the origin of everything. He knows where we came from. But you know, sometimes immediately we land on earth, and after we grow a little bit, maybe when we're like about 7 years, 8 years, and we become aware, we just forget. So awareness, sometimes when you're aware on earth, when you become aware, rather, in life, you forget that you're dust. But God remembers that he's the one who made us. So he said, not we ourselves. That means I didn't make myself. We're going somewhere. I want to show you how you cannot, you don't have the permission to be worried. We are his people and the sheep of what?
His
pastures. Okay. Enter what? Into his gate. I think this is where I'm going to. Enter into his gate with what?
Thanksgiving.
How do you enter into the gate?
Thanksgiving.
How do you enter into the gate?
Thanksgiving.
How do you enter into the gate?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Into his courts with what?
Praise.
Hey. With praise. With praise. That's the key of David. That key is the only key that can open the gates and you can enter into the presence of God. A murmurer cannot enter. Murmurers and complainers are shut out of the gates. You can see it. When you approach the gate of the Lord, what you enter with is what?
Thanksgiving.
When you approach the gate of the Lord and you say you want to visit the courts of heaven, if you come with murmuring, will they open the gates for you?
No.
No. If you come there with complaining, will they open the gates for you?
No.
Scripture says that enter into his gate with praise. See, whether or not you know what you're doing, when you approach the gate, whether you know what you're doing or not, whether you feel it's okay or not, you feel like it or not, that gate will respond to thanksgiving. The court of heaven opens with praise.
Yes.
The court of heaven opens with praise. And every other person is what? Shut out. It's not supposed to be a secret to a child of God. It's supposed to be something you know. You know, I put in my notes that thanksgiving is an immediate gateway into the realms of God. Immediately you enter praises and thanksgiving, the realm of God is opened. Check it now. Just ordinary, when you come to church and you're in worship and there's praise going on, what happens to you? You most likely forget your problems. Like, literally, you can just say, there is God. When you come to church and, you know, there's a moment of worship and praise. I've seen videos of everyone here, you know, praising and worshiping God. I'm telling you, it feels like nobody has problem. Does it not? Don't you think like that? Sometimes when you get home and you see Nfonso's picture that he has snapped when you were here. It gives you a smile. Because you can relate to how joyful you were at that moment. Even if you were in Monday traffic, just seeing that picture alone can remind you that I was joyful on Sunday. And it can retain you on Monday. It opens up the realms of God. Now, if you're not a thanksgiver, I'm separating the two words, thanksgiver, you cannot see the realms of God and you cannot hear him. When you're a thanksgiver, you can hear God. You can know what to do. You can be at peace. Praise God. Let's just see some few things that Thanksgiving does, the benefit of it, just few things. There are a lot of benefits. Thanksgiving brings down God's presence. Psalms 22:3 is a very popular scripture. Let's see it in maybe NLT translation first. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praise. If I read KJV, let's see KJV there. You see that you know the scripture very well. But thou art what? Holy. O thou that inhabitest what? The praises of Israel. You know the scripture, right? So NLT, let's see NLT. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. God abides in the praises of his people. That's where he stays. You can see why God will be very angry with you. So when I say God has emotions, and why God, what can make God angry is murmuring. So it's not like God is wicked, and that's why he dealt with the children of Israel. God is not wicked. It's just that, how will I say it? It's like they put a lot of mosquito in your house and you're asked to stay inside and sleep. I think some people like mosquito here, so I'm not talking to you. I know some people that can sleep inside mosquito. But me, for one, my eyes will be like this, open from morning to from night to morning. So it's like you have a lot of mosquito or cockroach. Okay, let me use cockroach. In your house, and you're asked to sleep inside the same house. Can you stay? So, and what would be your reaction? So, you see. So, when you're reading the scripture, you must have understanding. You must ask God to give you understanding. So, when God dealt with the children of Israel, because they were murmuring and saying a lot of things, imagine God saved them from slavery. And he said he wanted to go back and eat garlic. Now, it makes sense to me because I probably am like that. But God was upset. You can see he warrants that anger. Because you cannot sleep inside cockroach. Or, you get. So he couldn't stay. He's not somewhere he's comfortable. Murmuring and complaining is not somewhere God is comfortable. Now, if you want the presence of God in your house, make it a house of thanksgiving. That's Ojoro. Do you know what? I can't remember the times I didn't have food to eat. I'm very grateful because at those times, I never raised my voice. I was full of gratitude. And maybe for me, it's a bit different because I was sure about the future. So, but I was full of gratitude. And I thank God that I did not point my finger at God. If you want the presence of God in your house, if you want angels to fill your house, you don't need to see them. But if you want angels to come in, just be grateful. Be full of thanks. Be a thanksgiver. In fact, be a thanksgiver to human beings. Be a thanksgiver to human beings. There's nobody that should do you anything. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. If anybody does anything for you, you should be thankful. Nobody owes you anything. So be a person of thanksgiving. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's where God stays. So if you're looking for where God is, don't look for where there's plenty money or there's plenty food or they are feasting. Look for a young boy that knows how to give thanks. No wonder God was with David in the wilderness. Very boring place, right? Why? Tumba, 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 tumba. God enjoyed it. Nothing. It wasn't giving God anything more than that. Something. Tumba. That was the only thing he was doing. David did not care whether he was out of the house, whether he was an outcast, whether he didn't have food to eat, whether he was hungry. The guy was lost in praise. The guy was lost in worship. He's deserving. Let me show you in Malachi 2. It's not a scary something, but it's not a very nice stuff. It's like, what will happen if you don't give God thanks? Yes, 1 and 2. 1 and 2, you can put it together. And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not what?
Yeah.
And if you will not take it what? We'll soon see that commandment now. O priest, this commandment what is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart, to what? To give glory to my name. Says who?
Lord.
Wow. What will happen next? I don't want to be the one to read it. Like God, the Lord of hosts, is the one talking now. I will send a curse upon you. See what the curse will do. Because, don't forget, the children of Israel, they are blessed people. The curse said, I will curse your blessings. That was the part that scared me most. He even said, yes, I have cursed them already. Before, let's not get there. For you to know how irritated God can be when you are not a thanksgiver. Is it like already in my mind though? I've cursed it already. Because you do know what? The issue self was even taking it to heart. Before you even thank God, the issue for God here was you did not take it to heart. Like it's not important to you. It's not important to you. It must be important. It must be planted. See, I told you, I said that simple things, Jesus is very simple. The simple things in the kingdom of God are actually pillars. They don't need to be painted in a way where it's going to be deep. It will never be deep. But they are pillars in the kingdom of God. So it's not a thing you should not know. Thanksgiving and praises is not a thing you should not know. It's not a thing they should cajole you. Imagine, I've been in churches before now that when they want to do praise and worship, they have to really cajole you. I'm like, why are you doing? I could have just been dead. Why did you have to tell me to praise my God? Why do you have to tell me? You don't need to tell me. Before I came to church, I was praising God. Then the people will now be dragging. I'm like, hey, your own God must be Shango. Yeah, because it does not show the kind of God that you have. It means your God is wicked. If your mouth anyway will go to praise God, that means your God is wicked. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let's quickly run away from this course because it's not a portion.
Amen.
Thanksgiving as a law of multiplication and prosperity. Please, I can study this thing over and over and over again. We're going to look at the same scripture in John 6:11. Let's just quickly see it. Thanksgiving as a law of multiplication and prosperity. I told you that thanksgiving is the word supernatural force. John 6:11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed. Did you see that?
Yes.
Did he see the miracle before he gave thanks?
No,
he didn't see the miracle. It's in the thanksgiving, the miracle. It's inside that thanksgiving. The miracle is inside. Know how to use the tool. The tool is thanksgiving. Once you use the tool, it produces. The tool produces. Don't have anything in your house. Enter empty. Begin to worship God and praise Him. It will be filled. I'm sure you guys have practiced it. It will be filled. It will be filled. It's just a matter of time. So it's a tool for multiplication and prosperity. And prosperity. Let's see Psalm 67, verse 5. Thanksgiving is like a rain that causes the earth to bud. Once you give thanks, something supernatural happens. You have made compulsory the earth to bud because it's a force. Now, let me remind you, men don't give thanks. Human beings are generally not thankful. If you give thanks, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
People don't give thanks. If people were thankful, the earth would not be the way it is. So thanksgiving causes the earth to bud. It's a supernatural force, and it's not a small one at that. I'll show you in scripture. 6:7-5 says, let the people praise you. O God, let all the peoples praise you. Next verse. Then the earth shall what? Yield and increase. You want the earth to yield to you.
Yes. Yes.
Be a thanksgiver.
Yeah.
See, I don't have business with anybody that does not have much or has nothing. I don't have a business with you. I'm not in a pity party club. If I see you, you don't have anything, and you're a thanksgiver. You are made already. When I see a very poor person that knows how to give thanks, hey, it's a matter of time. Prosperity is on our way. On their way. It's a matter of time. But when I see somebody that is poor, but is always complaining, always complaining, always complaining, prosperity is far from you. And your earth will not bud. But that won't be your portion.
Amen.
Your earth will bud.
Amen.
Because you will now be a thanksgiver.
Amen.
If anything is not working around you, if there's any dead situation around you, thank God about it. The earth will definitely yield its increase.
Amen. Amen.
What is not working? Okay, your marriage is not working. When then? You're not the only one. We are plenty. Sorry, my own is working. But it was Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving. It was the day I got up and started thanking God about my husband. Thank God, though. Better thank God. Because the one that did not give you 100,000 naira, at least he bought you pepper in the market. Okay, the one that did not buy you pepper in the market, he carried your handbag for you. Do you think men carry handbag for their wives? No, it's not a common thing. The little that you have, give thanks. Don't wait until everything happens. This may never all happen. Give thanks. Give thanks. What are you complaining about? What are you worried about? What's the issue? Okay, he does not pray morning and night. At least he smiles at you. That's enough to give thanks, my people. You are not grateful, that's why. You're not grateful. I met a woman once, a woman that taught me how to cook afang soup. As she was teaching me how to cook the soup, she told me that, my darling, you can see that this soup I'm cooking, I feel so much pain in my heart. I said, ma, what happened? She said, my husband does not eat any soup. I said, hey. She does not eat any soup. And I know how to cook all kinds of soup. I said, oh, wow.
Wow.
Give thanks for the little that you have. Whatever you have, give thanks. Many times I'll sit with myself. Everything, see, it will be very hard for you to put me in a very low mood. I'm always hyper. It will be very hard. And things happen to me, but it will be very hard for you to wind me down. Because I used to remember a lot of things. I remember when I had an accident and my tooth fell off. That was the time I smiled the most. That's it I used to do. I've been doing it a long time ago. I wish that Facebook can show me my pictures. I've been doing it. I don't care. I've been doing it a long time ago, with teeth or without teeth. That's how to live.
Yes.
That's how to live.
Yes.
You must learn how to give thanks. See, don't wait until you have that beautiful job.
Yes.
Before you come and dance in the house of the Lord. Your testimony does not have any weight if it was the day it happened.
Yeah.
Okay, what happened before it happened? It doesn't have weight. It does not move anything. The testimony you have been giving before that thing happens, that's the main weight. That means you are not sure of God. That's the main weight. So when you come to church, when you see me dance, I dance like a winner. Oh. That is it.
Yes.
When you see me dance, I might be going home, there might be no food to eat at home. But when you see me dance, I dance like a winner. Oh. That's how I dance. I'm not going to wait. I don't wait on things like that.
Yes.
It's too cheap to wait for.
Cheap.
Too cheap. Is it clothes you are waiting for? Clothes. It's too cheap. Is it car? Car is a tool that you are waiting for. It's too cheap. It's too cheap. A job?
Too cheap.
When you get the job and you begin to travel from one place to another, it's too cheap.
Yes.
It's too cheap.
Thank you, Jesus.
Too cheap. You must learn how to give thanks now.
Yes.
Now is the time for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Now is the time for Thanksgiving.
Now.
Children of God, you are victorious always.
Yeah.
Let me show you something about, if you want to give God thanks, your language must be very clear. God, I thank you for my eyes. It's not really white. Some part of it is red, but I love it that way. I'm just trying to say, use clear language. Let's see 1 Corinthians 4:14. Let's see something that happened there. Paul was trying to explain something to us. Very, very important. 14:14. Let's quickly see it. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, right? But my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. See why? Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? Okay, now it's time for praise and worship. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Like the person that is not saved, that just entered. What I mean by Owamomi is like, he's just looking for where to refresh his mind. But you do not remind the person that, Father, we thank you. Your words are not clear. That's what Paul is saying. Father, I thank you for my height. Lord, I thank you for my size. The uninformed can thank God.
Yes.
That's what the scripture is saying. You can say amen. But if you begin to continue to pray in tongues, in thanksgiving, the uninformed cannot join you. He's not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Does not understand what you are saying. So he's unfruitful. So when they say give thanks to the Lord, your words has to be clear. What exactly has God done to you or done for you? Because all the people must praise God. All must praise God. Let me tell you something that happens when you don't praise God enough. Anything you don't thank God about. Maybe they say you are short now, for example. And you are not the most excited short person. Your height will depreciate more. Should be you are short. Maybe I should have used thought. Anything that you don't thank God for depreciates. The law of depreciation will set in. They say you are too fat. Thank God now. Thank God. Some people are looking for it. You know, when I was in secondary school, I was really tiny. Of course, yeah. I said I was really tiny, but I remember that I think I've remained the same. And people, they don't know my age because I was small. I still went to the market with, I think I know. And one woman I was selling baby things for was, you know, in the market, myself and Pastor Anu, she was saying that, Anu is a mommy then. Me, I'm a secondary school girl. As usual, I did have my all back. And that's how I carry my tea. So she was like, she was telling Anu that she's a secondary school girl now. What does she know? I just smiled. Then Anu, and I was enjoying it though. Let me tell you, I don't feel anyhow about it. Because I know I will soon be 50. When I get to 50, people are looking for my stature. So it's now they don't like it. Oh. We'll soon know. I was enjoying it. Like it didn't mean anything to me. Whatever size I have, it didn't mean anything to me. And then Anu started telling her that I'll give it to him. I said, Anu, keep quiet. Let me just glory. Let me just glory in this thing. Because for me, it was not an insult. Depending on your perspective. Depending on your perspective. Don't allow the law of depreciation. It's automatic. Anything you don't thank God for, everything you are complaining about, you have just feel this, feel that. You keep complaining, keep nagging. I remember, if you keep nagging over your children and complain about them, they will be depreciating. Yes. You will never get the best of them. And that is what's happening to our generation. A lot of words have been said into the youth, into their life, a lot of terrible words. Parents never give thanks for their children. See the turnout. See the depreciation everywhere. Give thanks. I'm not telling you that it will be perfect, though. I say give thanks for the imperfect things.
Yes.
If your baby troubles you at night, just leave this all alone. If your baby is troubling you at night, give thanks that you have one. Stop complaining. You have one. Okay, if your baby is disturbing you, go and give the person that does not have. You will see how... No. It's logic. Simple logic. You will see how the person will be glad to have your child. That same child they are complaining about. Okay, you are married. Your wife is troubling you. Hey, go and give it to another person. Oh, yeah, carry it. I don't know what's going on here. You must have a heart of gratitude. Please, I'm begging you. A lot of people, let me not even go there. Just give thanks. Give thanks. If your husband gives you 2,000 naira to cook ogbono soup, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks, let him multiply.
Hallelujah.
The multiplication is in your hand. Give thanks. Give thanks, it's a matter of time. Thanksgiving as a tool for complete deliverance for yourself and others. a complete deliverance. You know, after this teaching, you are going to live a forever life of thanksgiving.
Yes.
When you want to open your mouth to complain, you remember that you need to give thanks. And thanksgiving will fill you up. A heart of gratitude is what God is giving you tonight. Let's see Acts 16. I want to show deliverance, salvation, all those things, and for you and for others. Acts 16:16 says, 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with, I just want you to see what happened, because they actually got into jail eventually. So let's read fast. Who brought our masters with much profit, met with Paul, yeah? And, you know, she was crying out. Paul then casted her out. I don't want to waste time on it. So Paul, you all know the story, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Then Paul, out of vexation, like this girl, I mean, just casted out the spirits in the name of Jesus. Okay? Then it came out of her that very hour. Next verse. Then when the master saw that the hope of their prophets was gone, they got angry. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to authorities. Next verse. And brought them to the magistrate and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. All right, next verse. Next verse. Okay, wait. No, go back to 22. Then the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrate tore the garments of them. The first punishment, they've already lied on them. Second punishment, they've carried them. Then they've they tore their garments. You can see step by step punishment. They are going through a lot. They tore their garments off them and gave others to what? To be beaten with what? With rods. It's not cane, it's rods. Let's not forget that part. It's rods. Then when they had inflicted many blows upon them, I don't know what that blow is. They threw them into where? Prison. Charging the jailers to keep them safely. Let me see this safely. Having received this charge, he put them into the inner prison. That's safely. Inner prison and fastened their feet with what? Into the stocks. If he chained them one more leg. Like a mad person. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were what? These are not normal people. And Christians are not normal people. So they are your fellow brothers. I just wanted to show you the levels of suffering. That are you going through the same kind of suffering? Have they fastened your leg into fetters? Did they use iron to... At least you have legs to move about. With your problem that you don't have transport fare, you are still walking up and down. I'm telling you. You need that they see, you don't have any excuse not to give thanks. Anytime you want to cry, remember that you have eyes that water can come up. Anytime you want to cry, thank God that you have eyes that water can come up from. Some people are blind. Some people cannot cry. Yes. Listen to what happened again. They were praying and singing hymns to God. Do they look like people that should be praying and singing hymns to God? Their problems are more than my problem. But they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Was it a quiet thing?
No.
It was not a quiet thing. The prisoners heard them. So they were not soliloquizing. Because pain can make you keep quiet. Your pain can make you keep quiet. Pain make you keep quiet. Pain will reduce your voice. The attack of the enemy when he brings pain is that he wants to tone down your voice. There's an attitude of praise. There's a body language to it.
Yes, Lord.
There's a body language to praise.
Hallelujah.
You must move your body. You are in the presence of a king. You can even somersault. He says they were listening to them. See what happened next. There is no way this will not happen. Counter effects. Watch it. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Suddenly, so the foundations of the prison, because what was happening is contrary. Normally, in that prison, it should be tears. Contrary was happening. So it affected the foundation of the prison. People have been entering that prison, they've been crying. They did not have the power, the supernatural effect of thanksgiving to shake the foundations of the prison. The foundations of your prison, whatever is holding you down, will begin to shake. Thanksgiving is a tool and is a supernatural power. It was shaking, and immediately the doors were open. Every fetters. On what? Who loosened it? Supernatural power. On fasting. By itself. Don't need to struggle. They didn't pray in tongues, they praised. They were singing hymns. They were in gratitude. Gratitude. In thanksgiving and in clear language. I'm sure they must be saying things like, "Thank you, God, for permitting us to come here. We don't regret that we are here. We trust you, Lord. We thank you." I'm sure they must have been singing hymns, because hymns are solemn song. God, you are a great king. You are Alpha and Omega. They were not singing songs of complaint. They were singing songs of praise. Hymns. Making melody in their hearts. Making melody. They didn't feel like it. They're beating them, do you know? And they beat them with rods. That means even in their physical body, there was pain. There was pain even in their physical body. But they were doing otherwise, contrary to how they felt. They were praying. Then they started to sing praises. They were worshiping God. If you want to see the supernatural, thank God. In the midst of inconvenience, thank God. You have the power. It's inside you. You have the ability to thank God. Every child of God is born with that ability. It's in your spirit, man. You cannot be downcast. You cannot be downcast. Every child of God has a residual power of thanksgiving. Of thanksgiving. It's inside you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know we really want to thank God, but let's just see the next verse. 27, 28, 29. I want to see what happened. Then the keeper of the prison awaking from where? Sleep. Seeing that the prison doors were open, supposing that the prisoner had fled, drew his sword. The sword was to kill himself. What happened? See what happened next. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, you know, when they escaped, they didn't run away. They didn't run away. That was a sign that our God is more than, is another different matter. When you thank God, you will hear him. Yeah. See what happened next. Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. We have not gone. See what happened next. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. That's the person that chained them. He's before them, trembling before them. Then he brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" See the power of thanksgiving. It causes others to be saved. People are watching you. They are looking, why are you giving thanks? That is the power of salvation. You can cause others to be saved by your thanksgiving. When you have no reason to thank God, there's more reason you should thank him. That guy was crushed already. What must I do to be saved? What must I do? People are watching you. The world is watching you. Christians, the world is looking at you. How are you serving this your God? Is it with thanksgiving or with complaint? Are you like us? Is your behavior like us? When you behave, when we behave, is it looking alike? When you go through tough times, is your behavior like us? So they are watching you. They are watching you. Praise God. Praise God. Let me show you a list of... You can just stand like that, or you can just stay like that. I'm wrapping up here. Let me give you a list. So if you have pen and biro and paper and anything, iPad, phone, bad, everything. A list of things that you can thank God for. You want to hear it?
Yes.
But you are right, number one. Number one, a list of things you should thank God for. Number one, nothing. Oh, you're right, number two, nothing. A list of things you should what? Thank God for. Number three, nothing. Okay, what about that? Number four, what?
Nothing.
Shall we, you want to complain? Don't thank God. A list of things you should thank God for. Number five, what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing is happening in your life. Nothing. That's a list of things you should thank God for. If you didn't have a life, you wouldn't even have a problem. That's why there should be nothing you should thank God for. If you didn't have a life, you would have a problem. You would have a problem. First Thessalonians. Let me just wrap up with this scripture. 5:16. A popular scripture says what? Rejoice always. Tonight. It says pray without ceasing. 18 says what? In everything, what? Give thanks. Now, they didn't define that everything though. The everything does not have definition. It just says in everything, give thanks. Now, this is a bold statement. And the Lord is throwing out his children. In every situation, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
My soul, his blood has covered my sins.
Oh,